Good morning. We appreciate the wonderful job the choir done and the good number that was in the choir this morning. Y'all looked really good and sounded good too, so we appreciate them and ladies for playing for us this morning. If you have a Bible and want to read along, if you don't have one, look right there in front of you at the pew rack. You can find one. Turn to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to begin here in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, probably about number verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. Last week we talked about how our laboring was with the Lord, and it's really what kind of focusing on these sermons is getting out of the ruts of Christianity that we so easily get in. And certainly I hope last week he left with a better understanding of what our laboring for the Lord should be and our work for him. And this morning I want us to look at taking bold steps for the Lord. Taking bold steps for the Lord. I love the old Jerry Clower story. Now, I know some of you younger folks, if you're much younger than me, you're thinking, who in the world is Jerry Clower, right? Well, he was a stand-up comedian, told stories that common people could really relate to, and they were never ugly at all. There was no profanity or anything like that. And I know some of you saying, well, he don't sound too good to me. Well, he really was. He really was. But I love one of his stories. He really asked a question in his story. And he asked, do you know where you'll be when you get where you're going? It's one of his stories. And that's a good question for all of us. Do you know where you'll be when you get where you're going? And taking bold steps in life is one of the things that helps us to get where we're going. And there's three stages, really, that all of us as Christian people, I think there's three stages in life that we find ourselves in most all of the time. And we're going to talk about those this morning, the stages of Christianity that we perhaps all find ourselves in sometime. First of all, there is a stage one of taking that first big step. I'm going to skip for now what stage two would be, because we're going to come back to it. Stage three would be, though, when you're all in. I mean, when you are all in and you've got it figured out as far as what the Lord wants you to do, and you've just submitted yourself wholly, fully, and completely to His will, and you're listening to Him and you're following Him, that's the stage where we really want to all be in. But we have to begin somewhere. You have to begin somewhere in your journey of faith. And your journey of faith, every one of us in here, every single one of us, your journey of faith began with one step. I think everybody would agree with that. And really and truly, your journey of faith began with one very bold step. Now, if you go back, we'll look at this passage, and I'm going to also look at Acts chapter number 22, just a few verses there, and then over in 2 Corinthians, first chapter, and a few verses right there. If we can have time to read those, we will. If we won't, I'll just share them with you, and we'll go from there. But taking that first step in life, I want you to listen to what's recorded in Matthew's Gospel and what it says about four of these men who became disciples who were fishermen. But think about what happened in their life. Jesus, it says, was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers or fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their net and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now look, I want you to think about the bold steps that we see in Scripture, the bold steps of these four men, because a lot of times we read over these passages like this and we say, oh yes, there was Jesus, he was walking along that Sea of Galilee area and he comes up on these guys and he says, okay guys, come follow me. And just immediately they just drop in line and they just start walking behind Jesus and start following. Well, if you just read the Scripture and leave it right there, that's really all you're going to get out of it. That's all you're going to see. But in reality, here is some men that took some very bold steps. Now, what do I mean they took bold steps? Why do you think these men took very bold steps? First of all, this was entirely their livelihood, fishing. That's how they made a living. That's how they put food on the table. That's how they fed their children. That's how they kept their wife happy. They went to work every day. I mean, think about these guys and all that this entailed. And then all of a sudden, here comes this man, Jesus, and he just simply says to them, follow me. It took some very bold steps for those men to walk away from everything. Now think about what the Bible tells you and I that these men walked away from. First of all, with Peter and Andrew, it just simply says they left their net. Well, I don't know how much fishing gear cost in Jesus' time. I do know today, though, if you buy some pretty good fishing stuff, you'll spend some pretty serious money. And I know some of you men are sitting here thinking, oh, preacher, be quiet about that. I don't want my wife to know how much those lures really cost, you know. But anyway, there's a great expense involved in stuff like that. And what my point is, I'm saying this. This is what I could say, and I believe that I would be right about. I am satisfied that a net didn't come cheap in Jesus' day. That was something that was handcrafted, handmade, and it cost. There was a cost involved. And so there these men were. Not only did they walk away from their job and their occupation and everything, but they leave their net, something of value. They took a bold step in following Jesus. This is what it's talking about when you say leaving everything behind to come follow Jesus. You and I in our lives, it may not have been this bold a step. You may not have had to leave your occupation. You may not have had to leave something behind. But you left something behind. You made a bold step towards Christ. You had to leave something behind. If nothing else, you left self behind. And let me tell you what, most of us have a pretty high price on self. Amen? that's just the truth. So, here was these guys that just walk away from their net. And then you go immediately into these other guys that he comes to, James and John. They're out there with their father. Now we really know this is sure enough a family-owned business. Dad is there and they've got a boat. They didn't just leave the net. They left boat and family. Somebody said, well, surely, that bold step wouldn't require me to leave. Some people it has. Did you know that? Some people it literally has required that right there because they come out of a family. You know, we don't get that. We don't understand that because the vast majority of everybody that is in here, probably 99% of everybody that was in here today, you was raised in a Christian home. You never thought about coming to Christ and having to forsake and leave family. That's not true with everybody. That's not true world over. That's not true when you look at the world economy and you see all of these people out there and you finally see somebody that is reached for the cause of Christ and they become a Christian and their family is a family of zero faith, no faith, nothing, or some faith that is nothing. And they come to genuine, true faith in Christ. And listen, boy, if you ever went, and I've heard a lot of good stories, but if you ever went like a Muslim to Christianity, that family is going to disavow, disown you. You are going to literally have to step away from that family in order to be a follower of Christ. So Christianity does involve some very bold steps in all of us. When we come to Christ, that first step was a very bold step in our life, whether you realize it or not. It was a very bold step. So these men made bold steps. You will make bold steps. And do you know, I bet those guys, do you ever reckon they said this? I can't help but believe they probably did. And this is just my speculation by all means, but we say it today. Do you reckon old Peter and Andrew and James and John was ever just somewhere in the ministry, somewhere around Christ and everything, and one of them said to the other, you know, after we made that first step, the rest of it was easy. You think they might have said that? I think they probably a pretty good chance they said something like that, because have you ever made that statement? Have you ever thought about in your own life after you took that first one bold step towards Christ, how much easier the rest of it was? Well, I'm satisfied those guys probably thought the same thing in their life because they had made a bold step towards Jesus Christ. And I'm satisfied it got easier as with each step to walk away from that net. I'm satisfied with every step it became easier to walk away from that family business and from that boat that was out there. I mean, these guys left everything. Pretty bold step. So, you and I think we get the concept and understand what that first step is in our life, that first bold step that we all have made in life to come to Christ and to know Him as our Lord and Savior. When we come to a genuine place of true repentance in our life, that is a bold step that we make towards Christ. So you see, these men made bold steps. People today, every time anybody comes to Christ, it's a bold step. Because you know what? Have you ever thought about what you, any of us, do you ever think about what you've done when you committed your life to Christ? You are saying, Lord, I am committing all of me to You and to You that You are going to keep me out from the judgments of God. That's a bold step. You are saying, Lord, I'm going to trust Jesus as Savior in my life, that He will stand beside me when I stand before God and He will declare me not guilty. He will declare me a child of God. He will declare me an individual that is because of Him worthy of heaven. And I won't have to face the condemnation that I deserve, that God has declared on humanity and declared on mankind. I will not have to face that. So you are putting every bit of your faith and trust in Him that He will see you all the way through to that when you take that first step to Him. So every one of us in here, if you're a Christian, you have made a bold step in your life. You have made a very bold step because you're committing everything to Him. You're committing all of eternity, your soul. You are committing all of that to Him. So that is a very bold, big step in life. Well, now, I told you we was going to skip number two, and we are, because I want us to just quickly look at what it is to be all in. And I don't think you could find probably a better example, because really and truly at the stage of the disciples, they had taken the first step. All of them had. Peter didn't become all in until you get over there into the book of Acts. Yes, he was a follower, just like many genuine Christians. He was genuine, but Peter didn't become all in till later. He had his doubts, he had his questions, he had a lot of controversies, or whatever you want to call it. He was not a man that was totally committed. And really and truly, when you read about all of them, it's hard to say that they were all just totally all in, because they had so many questions and so many things that they didn't understand. Thank God they eventually did, save one, Judas. He never was. He never was really in to begin with, if you really want to know my opinion. But to be all in is where we want to come to. So there's one guy that I think that all of us, he's the first guy that's going to come to your mind. Paul, he's a guy, he's all in. I mean, when he has that encounter on the road to Damascus, and that's what he talks about in chapter number 22, and I'm just going to read a verse or two there in a moment. But he goes back and recounts his experience of grace in Acts chapter number 22, and he tells him of what kind of man he was and what he was before and what he is now. He is a man that is all in, and he declares what it is that God has called him to and what God has asked of him in his life. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know. This was what Ananias said to him. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou should know his will and see the just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Paul becomes a man that is all in. He knows what direction he's going in. He knows what the Lord has called of him. He realizes when he made a very bold statement even to those people in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, when Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's grace, I am what I am. Paul knew who he was in Christ. Paul was definitely a man that knew where he'd be when he got where he was going. He understood that. He understood what it was. He understood what God had called him to. He understood his mission to the Gentiles. He understood that he was going to reach those that were going to be the toughest perhaps to reach. He knew all of that, and he was willing to face the persecution that he faced. He was willing to face imprisonment for that. He was willing to go all the way with the Lord. Whatever God called him to, he was willing to do it. Everything. So that's where we really want to get to in life. We want to get to the stage where Paul was in life, where we're all in, where we understand what it is that God wants of us in our life. But now, real quickly, we're going to go back to number two. Remember, I told you I skipped one. And I skipped it on purpose. Because this is where most of us find ourselves in life somewhere, sometimes. Stuck in the middle. Do you ever feel that way, really and truly? Listen, think about what I'm saying. Stuck in the middle. First of all, we began with saying that you took that bold step and you knew what it was, and you knew of your commitment, and you knew where you were going, and you knew who you were going to, and you made that definite choice, and you come to saving faith in Christ by coming and trusting Him as Lord and Savior. And then, like I said, sometimes you come to the point in life you know exactly what it is where God wants you to be and what He wants you to do. But most of the time, if we were to be genuine and to be honest today, we'd say we find ourselves stuck in the middle. Why do we find ourselves stuck in the middle? And actually, even Paul did, even though, like I said, he knew what God wanted him, but he found himself one time stuck in the middle. Listen to what he says this is 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of the measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Listen to what he said. Paul said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which has raised the dead. Do you know where God wants every one of us to come to in life? He wants us to come to a place where beyond your ability is where God wants you to be. Beyond your ability. Now think about what I'm saying here, folks. Beyond your ability. What is that? Well, it's when you come to the place in life, it's when you come to a time in life that you realize that I don't have all the answers and I cannot fix everything. It's when you come to realize that you're not as self-reliant as you really thought you were. And the reason that so many times that we get stuck in the middle is because we are so self-reliant on ourselves and we always think that we can fix and we can solve the problem. Look, what is this here for? Anybody tell me, is it a decoration? It's absolutely not. You may want to pass it off as one and just say, I grabbed hold of the decoration coming up on the steps today. But it's here for a purpose, to reach out and grab a hold of in order that you'd be secure when you take your step and not rely on yourself. Do you get my point? We are so self-reliant in life that we don't want to reach out to nobody or nothing, let alone find ourselves reaching out to God. He's the post sometimes in life that you just need to grab hold of. He's the one that's gonna steady your way. That's what that's there for. Right? Steady way. And isn't that what Christ does in your life and in my life when we find ourselves stuck in the middle and we become so self-reliant and we think that we have got it all figured out? What am I going to do? You need to walk over here and grab hold of the post and think about Christ and think about, you know what, Lord, I'm not in this journey alone. I need you. I need to grab a hold of you because you're the one that helps me. Now, you know what? Most all of us, we don't want nobody to see us grabbing hold of that. I don't, not yet. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? But that's the way we are a lot of times with God. We want to be so self-reliant, we don't want to grab a hold of Him. Just real quickly, because this is a story everybody's familiar with. Jesus comes out to that ship that night when the storm's up. He and Peter's on the boat, and Peter steps out on the water and begins to walk toward it. Storm comes up. Peter's afraid. He begins to sink. Now, let me tell you, have you ever thought about something right here? He cries out to Him. And this is how you get out of being stuck in the middle, folks. Don't you know that Peter, he's a fisherman now, remember? There was no PFDs. Did I say that right? Personal flotation device. I doubt very seriously they had a big orange vest on the boat with them that night. None of that was there. But wouldn't you believe that it would be okay to say that in all likelihood, Peter could swim? I just about guarantee you every one of those fishermen could swim. They would not be out in the Sea of Galilee being fishermen on rocky boats, throwing nets over the sides and not being able to swim. Well, I know somebody's saying, well, now, preacher, the water was rough. Yes, it was. You're right. You're exactly right. But also, do you think that perhaps, probably, those men, remember the Sea of Galilee storm come up very quickly. Very quickly. That happens. Do you think probably anybody had ever got thrown off the boat before in a storm? Probably had. Do you think perhaps they probably had a rope out there or something that perhaps during a storm they might have thrown the rope out there to somebody to draw them back in? My point is this. Peter had no flotation device. Peter didn't think nothing about swimming. Nobody said anything about throwing a rope to him. He's just asking the Lord for his help. Do you see the point? That's how you get out of the middle. When you fully rely on God. Remember the little bands? I bet some of the youth here had them, the frog bands. The acronym, F-R-O-G, frog, fully rely on God. That's how you get out of the middle, folks, is by fully relying on God. That's how you'll get out. And let me tell you what. I just kind of thought of this morning. I was kind of cute because of thinking about the frog and everything. Instead of a bold step, just take a bold leap of faith. Like a frog would. A bold leap of faith and get out of the middle. Get out of being stuck in the middle, because that's not where the Lord wants you. He wants you to be. He wants you to be all in. He wants you to understand where it is that He's got you going in life. Is there ever going to be times that we all... I think even the best. I mean, like I said, yes, Paul had it figured out and understood what God was requesting of him and wanted of him, but there were still some times when he was stuck in the middle. He still had those times. There's times that, you know, you can go and you can be all in and really understand, and perhaps going to come along a time when you're going to find yourself back stuck in the middle again, you know. And the reason for that is because a lot of times you became self-reliant. You relied on yourself and what your capabilities are and what you can do instead of truly trusting in what the Lord can do in your life. And that's where we all need to come to. That's how you get out of the ruts of Christianity. And everybody gets in them sometimes. Everybody, all of us get stuck in that middle sometimes. But when we fully rely on God, it's how we get out of that stuck middle that we can be in. Now, the question I'd ask for you today is, where are you in life today? If you're a Christian, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're either, you've took that first step, you're all in, or you're somewhere stuck in the middle. If you're here today and you've never come to Christ, you've never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, you can't be any of those. You're not stuck in the middle. You haven't taken the first step. You cannot know what God's plan is for you in your life and what He wants of you. You can't be all in because you've never got in. So what do you need to do? One bold step today. One bold step. You could be sitting on the very back bench. You could be sitting in the middle of the aisles. You could be sitting right up here towards the front. We're going to give an invitation. Would you make one bold step? One bold step towards Him. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to Hightower Church. You're making a bold step towards Christ. To Him and to Him alone. While we stand together and sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here, doesn't matter if you're visiting with us, I pray you would take that bold step of faith. If you're here and you've never come to trust the Lord and you don't know Him in a personal and in a real, genuine way, we invite you to come while we sing this verse of song. You may be here and maybe you just want to come up here and pray for a moment. If you do, I want to give you that opportunity. That opportunity is always afforded to you. Whether I specifically mention it or not, it's a place of prayer. I hope you'd always feel free and know that you come anytime. But sing this other verse of song. If you want to just come to the altar and pray, I want to give you that opportunity. Okay, thank you. I appreciate everyone being here this morning. Thank you for your prayers and attentiveness. And I hope that if you're stuck in the middle, get out of it. You can. anyone have anything they want to share or say? Nothing? Okay, just remember, Chad said, and there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of real good stuff, a lot of things that brings us together as a church family, and we always enjoy those things. So pick up that newsletter and make sure you know what's going on and when it's going on. And And also, I think something that happens sometimes, there is sign-up sheet back there in the back for desserts on Wednesday night. I like a good homemade dessert. just remember that, okay? All right. Anyone, anything? Nobody? All right, remember revival too, the associational revival. Come be with us tonight if you can. If you can't, pray for it. And remember, Tuesday night, Clint's going to be preaching at it, so I'm going to invite you, you know, for sure that night if you can. No one has anything? Let's bow our heads. George Latham, would you pray a benediction, please?